All the awesome testimonies you heard this morning leads up to the new message series that we're beginning this week, entitled Kingdom Come. In reality, that's what you guys did. You brought God's kingdom through simple acts of service, through simple acts of honor, bringing God's kingdom here on the earth. What an awesome opportunity. And so this morning, I'm switching gears a little bit. We're not going to go into the full message because this was the message. This was the application of everything we're going to be covering in the upcoming weeks. But this morning I felt it was important to encourage us to remember one of the key attributes of the kingdom of God that you saw, you know, here applied this morning. And that key attribute is that of honor. But this is one of the key attributes of God's kingdom that I believe the church and our culture as a whole has forgotten about, has lost. The reason I believe that the church has lost its effectiveness in our nation and in our culture is because we have followed suit along with our culture and have forgotten what honor is all about. So this morning we're going to take a quick look at what honor is and how it is that we apply this here in our lives. So to get started, honor, what it is very, very simplistic. Honor is simply to fix a value upon. If I honor something, then that means I place a very high value upon that thing, whatever that might be. You know, many of us have a very high honor for money. We value it. We lay down our lives for it. Whatever we have to do, when it's available to make money, then we're going to lay down whatever we have to in order to make it. That is honor. Honor is simply greatly valuing something. And in the kingdom of God, not only are we obviously called to honor God, to place the utmost highest importance upon Him, upon His kingdom, but Jesus revealed that we actually do that by honoring others. And from cover to cover of Scripture, this is a command of God. Why? Because we're not going to do it on our own. And I'm telling you, in the church today, this is one of the attributes we've lost. When we look upon those who are held captive to do the will of the enemy, that's what Ephesians chapter 6 reveals to us about, you know, those who are held in sin, we look upon them with judgment, with disdain, and simply with dishonor. You know, the passing in the Supreme Court of homosexual marriage, obviously I'm against that because my kingdom's against it. How could I ever be for it? But I'm not angry at the government because my value system isn't based on the government's. Based on the kingdom of God's. And when the two are in contradiction, I will always honor the King of Kings and Lord of Lords before any president, Supreme Court justice, or any other governmental authority in that regard. Now, I will hold them in high honor in every other area, but when the two are contradictory to one another, I must honor my king. I have to. But so many Christians I see have become so... I just looking at my newsbook feed, it's so immature. They don't understand what honor is because it's not lived out. Honor is to fix a value upon. And take a look at what God's Word calls us to do before I continue on in what Pastor Steve might ask you to do. First of all, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Now, this is just a few little bits and pieces of Scripture that call us to do this. But from cover to cover, Old Testament, New Testament, you'll find this. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 calls us to be devoted to one another in love, to honor one another above yourselves. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, we're told to do nothing out of selfish ambition or in vain conceit, but rather in humility to value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but each of us to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, had the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And that scripture goes on to explain that who being in the very nature was God himself, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he humbled himself and he served everyone. and take a look at who Jesus served. He served the outcasts of society, those who religious institutions deemed unclean. Jesus went to the prostitute and forgave her her sins. He went to the lepers. He touched them and healed them. He went to the dead and he raised them to life. He went to those who were bound by demons and he set them free. He went to the dirty, lame beggar and he healed him so that he could become clean. That is supposed to be our attitude in every relationship. Not just our relationships with people who agree with us and see eye to eye with us. We're not called to honor those who are honorable. We're not called to honor those who live high moral standards in life, who have great reputations in our society. We're not called to honor those who live and act respectably. No, we're not simply called to honor our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we take a look at Scripture in regard to honor, there is absolutely no filter, no qualifier when it comes to honor. We are simply called to honor others. That's everyone. Everyone across the board. We are called to honor others in the same way that Jesus did. We are simply called to honor everyone, valuing all others above ourselves, even as Jesus did. Valuing other people. That is what honor is. Honor is required by God from cover to cover of His Word, not only to honor Him, but more importantly, to honor others. And yes, I said more importantly, and you'll see why here in a second. Will we always receive honor in return? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I can guarantee that the people who you hold in the highest of honor are going to be the ones who let you down the hardest, who hurt you the worst, who spit in your face the most often. But take a look here in Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 58. And so when Jesus had finished these parables, and we're probably going to just go over all the Matthew 13 parables in this message series about what the kingdom of heaven is like. It said Jesus moved on from there. And in verse 54 it says, coming to his own hometown, he began teaching the people in the synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. And then there's a change of tone. There's this reminder of the enemy. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas right here? And aren't all of his sisters here with us as well? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. This morning, what I believe God is pointing out to us is that honor and faith are directly related. You cannot honor people without faith. You cannot honor God for certain without faith. It very frequently requires my faith to bestow honor onto another person. It very frequently requires us to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we absolutely do not see in that person in order for me to honor them. It requires me, through the eyes of faith, to see them as God does. He saw them as so valuable that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. He saw the depravity of this world. And I'm telling you, we think that our world is bad now. We have never seen what it looks like for things to be bad. Think of the days of Noah, the only single righteous man on the face of the earth. Think about that. These days are not that dark and not that evil. I won't go into the whole rainbow thing. But God took a look at us and our depravity, so lost in our sin, so helpless, so bound, and though we deserved hell for the lives that we choose to live, God chose instead our loving Heavenly Father to sacrifice His one and only Son for us. Jesus, He saw us as so valuable that He gave His perfect sinless life for them. Even while on the cross, being spit in his face and called names, Jesus saw those people as so valuable, he forgave them, even while hanging on the cross. How then can we dishonor our fellow mankind, think poorly of them, speak poorly of them, and think that we are in right standing before our Heavenly Father? To think that we can come boldly before God's throne room because of His grace and be like, hey, God, what's up? And to think God will just honor us and delight in us and celebrate us when we're living contradictory to His kingdom, contradictory to His command. Now, we often hear that Jesus in His hometown, He couldn't perform many miracles because of their lack of faith in Him, right? That's how, as Christians, we tend to do things. It's their fault. This nation's going to hell in a handbag. It's because it's their fault. It's them, right? It was their lack of faith. That's why Jesus couldn't perform many miracles, right? You know, we have a tendency to say it's all them. It's all their fault. However, if we take a second look at this scripture, we find that, yes, they had a lack of faith. But there was something more important than happened that actually caused their lack of faith, and that is their lack of honor. Their lack of honor. Due to the lack of value that they placed upon Jesus, he couldn't perform many miracles there. They saw Jesus as nothing more than a carpenter's son. They valued him no higher than his other brothers and sisters who were there amongst them. And because they dishonored Jesus and saw him not as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not as their coming promised Messiah, but because they saw Jesus as this carpenter's son, they dishonored him. They saw him as simply their hometown boy coming back, you know, giving a good message. Good job, you know, Jesus. He couldn't perform many miracles there. Faith and honor, they are directly related. In order for me to honor somebody, I have to have the faith of God. I have to have a supernatural faith outside of myself to see them as God sees them, to be able to place that value upon them. And Jesus, he gave us this awesome teaching to actually illustrate and to teach what honor looks like and how honor acts. And he gave us this parable in Luke chapter 14. So Luke chapter 14, we find that he was hanging out with a fellow Pharisee here. He was having a luncheon, probably after the morning service. And when Jesus was there, along with this huge crowd of people that Jesus brought, he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table. And so he told them this parable in verse 8. It says, "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So Jesus gave us this clear picture of what honor does. Honor takes the least of these in the eyes of the world and bestows upon them the greatest of value, which opens a door of opportunity. It opens a doorway of opportunity that they may never be granted by anyone else. That is what the kingdom of God does. The kingdom of God honors others, gives them an opportunity to change and to be transformed. Honor unlocks the blessing of heaven into our own personal lives as we choose to humble ourselves and to value all others as being more valuable than us. Honor is the chosen act that unlocks a rich reward in heaven. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, he gave us this example. He said that on that day when we meet him face to face, he says, "What you did for the least of these, you did for me. So that's why I come to this conclusion and share with you that it is more important to honor other people than it is to honor God, because by honoring those others, you are honoring God. And in that direct the direct context of that scripture in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, you know, those who are thirsty, you guys saw plenty of thirsty. If you give them a cup of water, you did it for me. If you saw them hungry, you gave them food. If you clothed them when they were naked, whatever you did for the least of these, you've did for me. Now, when we do it for our brothers and sisters in Christ, they'll repay us. That's just what we do. We honor each other. But when I choose to honor the least of these, there's no possible way they can repay me. And so Jesus, who sees these sacrifices, cha-ching, you just earned yourself a reward in heaven that cannot be stolen, does not accumulate negative interest. It's a beautiful thing. Honor, however, it always requires a sacrifice, and it always requires faith on our part. The most awesome thing about honor is that honor breaks a spirit in our lives of pride, and especially of religion, thinking that I somehow have to act a certain way. Take a look at the life of Jesus. You know, we teach in the church a false gospel that we have to avoid sin and sinners so that we don't look as if though we are sinning. I must drive past that bar to use the restroom and go to Walmart, which is 20 miles away, so that I don't look like a drunkard. You won't find this in the Gospels anywhere. Jesus didn't avoid the prostitute so that it didn't look like, boy, he's a sinner. No, instead he was called a glutton. He was called a sinner. He was called a demon. He was called the worst of these. Why? Because he reached out to the least of these. His value was drawn from his heavenly Father alone. He could care less what other people said about him, especially what the teachers, elders, and Pharisees and Sadducees thought about him. He called them whitewashed tombs because they had to look a certain way and act a certain way. They had to pass up that bar. They couldn't be seen near it, let alone people who come from it. Jesus went into that bar and said, I bring freedom. You don't need this stuff. I bring freedom. He came to seek and to save the lost. What was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And it is here. We're going to learn about this. But Jesus, he taught us to pray that his kingdom would come and his will would be done here on the earth. And that's what we have been commissioned to do, to establish God's kingdom here on the earth until Jesus returns. And boy, when he brings it, he brings it. But until then, we have this awesome divine opportunity to establish God's kingdom on earth, and we do it through honor. This group of missionaries, they did it through honor. They honored the least of these. They did it. They did exactly what we're being called to do. Honor is the conduit through which the pure, flawless, and powerful love of God flows through our lives. It's when we choose to honor. That is the conduit from the power and love of God. Honor is what enables us to shine with the light of Christ in contrast to this dark, dying world. They call us haters, yet what do we do? No, we don't agree with their lifestyle, but we choose to love them. We bestow honor upon them, and it'll blow their mind because they don't understand it. They can only honor people who they agree with, who they can honor. But we, members of the kingdom of God, our identity is found in Christ alone. So I can honor anybody. I can honor the least of these because my value is not placed in who I hang out with, in who I serve, in who I share my home with. My identity is found in Christ alone, and that enables me to honor the least of these. Honor is what enabled Jesus to kneel down and to wash the feet of his disciples. Honor is what his heavenly Father enabled him to do when he forgave those on the cross who spit on him and insulted him. Honor is what helped him and enabled him to speak to the Samaritan woman, which was dishonorable on so many levels in the eyes of Christ. Yet he spoke to her. Honor is what enabled Jesus to heal the lepers, what enabled him to offer salvation to tax collectors, what enabled him to offer forgiveness to the woman caught in adultery, to reach out and to heal that dirty cripple who could never make it into the waters to be cleansed. It's what enabled him to endure the cross with joy. It all boils down to honor, because Jesus honored us. He took on the cross with joy. And he has asked us to do no less than what he has already done. Honor in the church especially. This has become sort of a maligned view of what honor is. Honor is not something that we should ever demand of others. I should never expect other people to honor me. Even if Scripture does, right? Scripture says that elders are worthy of double honor in the church. Yet, we should not demand or require honor. We choose to honor God and all other people. And any honor that we are given in return, we just give it to Christ. If you've seen who Jesus Christ truly is, if you've seen what he has done for you, then you would not demand honor. Any honor that you receive, you would just give right back to him. And we see this happen. Look at the book of Revelation. When we come to the end of our life, and we are given these crowns that we earned, the crown of life. When we see Jesus, we cast it at his feet with joy. We give him all honor, glory, and praise, because he's the only one that's worthy. If we ever demand honor in this world, forgive us, Lord. We don't know who you are. We haven't seen you. We haven't seen you in all your fullness. Like John the Baptist, we must decrease. The only way for Jesus Christ to be honored in our lives is for us to get over ourselves and to lay down our lives. In John chapter 3, verse 26, John's disciples, they all came to him, and they said to him, "Rabbi, Jesus," and that's that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, "the one whom you testified about, look, he's baptizing, and everyone's going to him." You think they were a little bit threatened in their job security here, right? Walmart moved into town, and they're stealing all of our customers. What are you going to do? And to this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given to them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy today is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less." That's honor. We have to stop thinking highly of ourselves, as if though we've obtained some sort of righteousness by our acts. Because Scripture says that all of our righteousness that we do through doing the right thing, it amounts to dirty rags. And if you take a look at the original language, that's pretty much pads and tampons of the day. Dirty rags, tossed out. That's what our righteousness amounts to. Even the righteous acts that we perform, they still point to Jesus and give him honor. Because we can only do anything good because he enabled us to and taught us to. So this morning, I want to encourage us to choose honor, because honor is a choice in every case. In every case, I must choose to live like Jesus. I have to choose to be a member of the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ, who deserved to be exalted, who has been given the name above every name, he chose to serve everyone. So I encourage you, you all have been called to be missionaries, and you don't have to go to a third world country to do so. The lost, the hurting, those who are broke beyond broke, owing tens of thousands of dollars of debt, they're right here in our backyards. They just don't live like they are. I would encourage you, honor those people who our society and our culture has given up on and could care less about, they would be happy if they left. Honor those people. We are commanded. We are ambassadors of Christ, representing, as Dalloway says, representing Jesus here on the earth. We are commanded by our King of Kings, the general over heaven's armies that rules and has all authority. We've been commanded by him to honor others, valuing them above ourselves. So as we continue through this series, and as you are encouraged and challenged to bring God's kingdom here on the earth, remember this. No matter what you do, you must honor. You must act honorable. Your words must speak only what builds other people up. Only what builds other people up, because you honor them. And honor just becomes that conduit. When you choose to honor them, the love of God in all of its various forms, the gifts of the Spirit, will flow. They will naturally flow from your supernatural life when you choose to honor, because that lowers yourself and opens the floodgates of heaven to just pour out. An open heaven is available to us when we choose to honor. So let's just close in prayer here. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your choice to honor me. While I was still lost in my sins, you valued me. When I was still held captive by my sins and bondages that I could not break free from, when I was marked and labeled by my shame, you valued me and you chose to honor me. You gave your life for me. And there is no greater act of honor than any of us could ever display than to lay down our lives for another. So Jesus, we acknowledge that since we continuously put our faith in you, we have been adopted into your kingdom. We are princes and princesses in your kingdom. Help us, Holy Spirit, to act like it. Help us, Holy Spirit, to bring your kingdom here on the earth and to establish it alone. Forgive me for dishonoring others. Forgive me for seeing them as the world sees them. And this morning, open my eyes. Give me the gift of discernment and prophecy, that I can see what you see and speak to what you speak, so that your kingdom is established wherever I go. And Lord Jesus, any honor we receive, we'll pour it out in an act of worship to you. Because all that I can do, you have made possible. We thank you and we love you, Jesus, our King, the only one worthy of honor. In your name, amen.